You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Episode 271, our best money saving tips for 2023.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And today we're going rogue again with a special edition. I think we're going to call this a special edition. And normally we will go through articles, but today we actually looked at the best money saving tips articles from around the web. And we thought a lot of them were trash. Mm. Just dumpster fires.
Dumpster fires on the internet. You've never heard of that before.
Yeah, right. So no, I don't want to say dumpster fires. They were the same regurgitated money saving tips that you have heard time and time again. And if you want to read them, there's great. There's like 50 of them on every article. They're all the same. Google best money saving tips. We have a free ebook with 200 of them that you can download at frugalfriendspodcast.com/ebook. So we're not going to bore you on this episode with all of those regurgitated tips. What I can promise you is in this episode, you will hear things that you have not heard before. That you will hear things that are not talked about in these articles or on other podcast episodes. Probably our podcast episodes, if you've been a longtime listener, you will have heard them. If you are new, welcome. We're going to try and share things with you you haven't heard before.
Ooh.
That's our goal.
Ooh, big promises. And you know us, we love to overpromise and underdeliver.
Right. And if you've actually listened to us for any amount of time, you know that that's a lie. We like to underpromise and moderately deliver. And that's, that's what we're going to do today. Hopefully over deliver, because this is what we're, I mean, this is what we're passionate about. This is what fires us up. And so much so that in addition to this episode, we are also going to be running a free 1 week spending makeover challenge. So we are hosting January 2nd through 6th, a free challenge. We're going to be offering daily live lessons in a pop-up Facebook group so you can have some community during the week and to your inbox. So if you don't have Facebook, no problem. Or if you're listening to this after January 6th, no problem. You can still get it to your inbox. You get the replays. So the goal for this challenge is to help you save money in 2023, but not through methods that are going to save you $3 here, $10 there. We are going to give you in a week or less, well, you're going to give yourself in 1 week or less, a clear picture of your past spending, a foundation to turn your spending from either mindless, impulsive, however you would describe it, to values-based spending that you can feel really good about that also doesn't bankrupt you. And then you're going to create a plan to move forward with values-based spending in a way that works for you, not in a way that someone says should work for you. And so that is a lot. And that's what we're going to give you the framework for in this free challenge. So if you want to, we're going to give you a little introduction today with these money saving tips. If you want more, then head to frugalfriendspodcast.com/makeover. And if you're listening to this when it airs, we're doing the makeover live January 2nd through 6th. If you are listening to it after, don't worry, still go to frugalfriendspodcast.com/makeover, get the replay of the entire challenge to work on and really just make 2023 a year that you take action.
It's a great way to start the year off looking at finances, and it's free. This whole thing is free, which I love that word. It's my second favorite F word.
Absolutely. I have a lot of favorite F words, and that's one of them. So if you are looking for other episodes to queue up after this, there are a lot. I think my favorite one would be episode 197, Our Best Money Hacks, with Lisa Rowan. That's actually a replay of the original interview that we did with her. It's one of our most popular episodes because she does give some really great money saving hacks and money making hacks. The hidden money one is, I think we get more emails about that one than any other thing that we've talked about with the guest. So 197 is a really great one to queue up for after this. And this is the time where we'd normally go into our article headlines. But we don't have articles this week.
No.
Last week we even had articles. We were going rogue with articles. This week we've got nothing. And I wrote on this outline, no articles, going rogue, can't stop me, I'm pregnant. And this is where we are, because we're making up our own best money-saving tips. These are straight from the Frugal Friends, and they were not in any other article that we looked up.
I love it.
So we're just going to give them to you yourselves.
Your pregnant brain is a wonderland, and I'm here for it. So our best tips, kind of a survey of the best the Frugal Friends has to give to you. And the first one is follow the 80-20 principle. For those of you who aren't familiar, that's the Pareto principle, where we talk about how oftentimes 20% of your efforts represent 80% of your results. So why not focus on the 20% rather than kind of piddling away? And the way that this principle applies to our finances is, instead of focusing, not that these are bad things, these are fine things to be considering, but rather than focusing all of our precious time and energy on the 100 hacks that save us $3 here and $10 there, why not focus on the decisions that have the biggest impact, the heavy hitters, the ones that can save us $100 here, $10,000 there? These are the areas that we're going to see the biggest impact to our finances. It's great to find coupons for free coffee. We do love that. But if we're talking about how do I save big money, and we're looking at kind of the full year, right? It's the beginning of the year. So we're looking at this in kind of a bigger, broader scope. It's going to be those larger decisions, those more heavy hitters that we're going to want to focus on. And so those are the big five. What are the big five? Housing, transportation, groceries, taxes, and healthcare. These expenses, these five expenses, make up approximately, for most of us, 72% of our monthly spending. And often these are the areas that are untouched, overlooked when it comes to people's quest to save money. But why not? Why are we not looking at the bulk of what makes up our monthly and annual spending? And so when we can find ways to cut expenses or save money on our housing, on our transportation, on our groceries, taxes, and healthcare, that's when we're going to see the actual massive impact that we want to see. It's not going to be in the coupon clipping and the saving a few dollars here and there. It's going to be when we actually take a good hard look at what's making up the majority of my spending and what are some creative ways that I could decrease those expenses.
Yeah. After almost 5 years of hosting Frugal Friends, we definitely do get the questions about groceries the most. And that's why you'll find the most episodes of these five on groceries, because it's the one that people ask for the most. But if you're looking at how much you spend monthly on groceries, it's going to be right up there, if not maybe a little less than what you're paying monthly for housing or what you're paying monthly for transportation or taxes. Nobody really thinks about the ability. If you are on a standard deduction, a lot of people don't think about paying their taxes because they're like, oh, I can't write this stuff off. I just take a standard deduction. But there are things you can be doing to legally and ethically reduce your tax liability. And healthcare, health insurance is for many families one of our largest expenses and something that should be talked about, you know, once a year, usually. In November, we interviewed Eileen Doherty about how we can make sure that we're paying the right amount for health insurance, that we're not paying too much, that we're not paying too little. So stuff like that is looking at these big expenses first. And we're not just looking at them, but we're trying to look at them first because so many of them are taken for granted. And these are the ones when you're looking to like shave expenses, which most of us are, you can only cut so much. And we know that. Like, we're the frugal friends. We're not advocating for you not spending money at all. It's not a race to the bottom. That's why we take these things that may not fall directly into our values, you know, like the mortgage bill and the car loan. And we look at how we can shave off of those instead of trying to shave off the things that we do care about. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely something we can do, but we believe it's secondary. It's easier to make that secondary to these big five. And so you will find in our backlog episodes on how to save money on housing, how to save money on transportation, especially our interview with the car chick on saving money on your car purchase. We haven't done a lot on taxes because we're not specifically tax experts, but it is something that we want to do more of. But if you listen to any investing episode we do, we always, always emphasize the tax advantaged accounts. And you can definitely find that stuff in our membership, the Frugal Friends Club. We have courses on that, but it is something we want to cover more on the show in the future. And then on healthcare, that episode with Eileen on health insurance. It's not open enrollment right now, but if you are switching jobs or have an event where you need to change health insurances, that's definitely one to listen to. So yes, start with the big five, start with the 80-20. And when you keep the 80-20 principle in mind, whenever you're looking to save money, it can make your decisions a lot easier to make. When you have the decision to, do I spend time clipping coupons, which I don't see anybody clipping coupons anymore, but scrolling rebate apps and clipping rebates. Do I spend my time there? Or do I spend my time looking for a bill to negotiate or looking at a way maybe I can get rid of some of the stuff in my house so I can downsize to less square footage and save money? That's the decisions we're trying to head into the direction of. So,
yeah,
that's the first one, 80-20 principle. The next one is something we talk about constantly. And if you are a listener of Frugal Friends, this will not surprise you. The next biggest tip for saving money is to figure out what you value. Because when you know what you value, you can spend without guilt on those things and say no to things that you don't value or that you may not be able to afford to value in this decision. Just like with the 80-20 rule, making it easier to make these decisions, knowing what you value, knowing your core values, the expenses you value, makes making decisions a lot easier.
Yeah, I love how this, what we're going through here, feels like a survey of what we've learned in the last 5 years of doing Frugal Friends Pot, almost 5 years coming up on it. And this right here to me personally is and has been the biggest pivot point in my own understanding of frugality. I've got a very close friend, one of my longest running friend, can you say it that way? Jenna Ball, shout out to you, who's been listening to the podcast from its inception. And she noticed it too. She's like, there's been a bit of a pivot in the way that you all are talking about frugality. I don't totally see it because I'm in it and the changes mm-hmm. are happening for me as well. But the shift from just how do I decrease as many expenses as possible or just make money and hoard it, this kind of concept that typically is associated with frugality versus how do I create freedom for myself to spend in the areas that I want to spend, to afford the things and the lifestyle that is meaningful and valuable to me, and ruthlessly say no to the rest, has given so much more freedom and permission and just a redefinition of frugality that I love. It has so resonated with me, with us, with I think our listeners as well. And it's not that kind of one size fits all. And it also eliminates judgment on ourselves and on other people when we're able to give room for, yeah, you can spend as much as you want on going out to eat. I'm not going to judge you. It may not be my value, like aligned with my values, may not be what I spend money on, but there's not this kind of competition or judgment or shaming when it's not cookie cutter, when it's freedom mm-hmm. and flexibility to define your values and make a spending plan around that. This has been a pivotal mindset shift for me that I love.
Yeah, because when we started, it was frugality really seemed like a race to the bottom. How can I get my spending to as little as possible so I can reach this arbitrary financial goal as quickly as possible? And that was really where we started the podcast. And it has shifted to be this.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards, a free flight, a room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Nerd Wallet, finance smarter. We've been there, done that with overpriced wireless providers and their fine print contracts. But with Mint Mobile, their wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's it, no catch.
Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
So you can say bye-bye to that overpriced phone plan you've been using and bring your own phone, your same number, and all your contacts with you right on over to any Mint Mobile plan.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/frugal. That's mintmobile.com/frugal. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/frugal. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
To really like all... What other instance do you define like mastering something by not doing it at all? Like other than spending, people think spending well means either you spend everything you have plus maybe more, or you spend nothing at all. And that is being good at spending. And I feel like, I mean, and this is why we talk about the radical middle so much. It's not either or. It's somewhere in the middle. Spending money well means that you feel good about what you see on your bank statement and that it aligns with your current income and that you're content with it without becoming complacent, that you are working on always aligning your spending to what you value, always either, you know, trying to increase or decrease your income to what's enough. for the things that you value. And really asking yourself, can I look at my bank statement? Can I look at my checking account statement and say that I'm really happy with it? It's really what I want. And if you can't say that, then frugality is for you. Like, it's frugality is a skill that you should consider mastering. Spending is a skill that everyone should consider mastering. And some people think as spenders that, you know, that they are spenders and that means they've mastered spending. But really everybody spends money and everybody should be saving money. So like, we're not defined by what we do with money or what we have done with money. We are whole people. Like Jill, you say a lot, we are whole people. We spend, we save. The difference is it's positive when you're doing it in alignment with your values, and it becomes limiting when you're not paying attention to your values and you're just spending in alignment with what social media is selling or what your friends are doing or what your family may be pressuring you to do. So when we let those outside factors influence where we spend money and not what we value, what our family, you know, what our immediate family values, that's where it becomes limiting. Mm-hmm. And so these are things we talk about in our spending makeover, frugalfriendspodcast.com/makeover, is how to establish this values-based spending. Because it sounds like a great idea, but like, it's easier theoretically than it is to implement practically.
Yeah. How do I identify my values? How can I even make my money align with that? How does that help me long term? All these questions are great questions, and working through it will help us immensely. I think one of the biggest barriers for people oftentimes with finances is that, oh, it feels constricting if I were to budget or have to look at my money. Like, I would just prefer to do the things that I love. I don't want to have to say no to myself constantly, or I don't feel good at understanding finances. It feels over my head. Like, those two things combined, I think, keep us from looking at it. And then we get this rush at the new year of, oh, but I do still spend money and I got to make money decisions. So how can I do better? And I think this whole thing that we're talking about is, what are some anchors, some principles that we can hold on to, and then find the freedom to play and be flexible within that? We are not moving towards rigidity. We are moving towards freedom and saying yes to those things. I think that's what's so amazing about the values-based spending. Is it's not about cutting extensively and depriving yourself of all of these things. It's about figuring out intentionally, with the knowledge and understanding of what's coming in and what's going out, and how can we say yes to the things that we love, which the flip side of that is this third thing, this another really fantastic tip, this anchor, this pillar, is then drawing the line in the sand on what you don't value. So first of all, it is that the second thing that you mentioned, Jen, finding out what you value, aligning our spending around that. But then next is, what don't I value? And how can I ruthlessly cut and quote unquote deprive myself of those things? But it's not actually deprivation, because you don't care about those things. But what we see happening often is we will spend money mindlessly on things that we don't actually value. It's that dollar section at Target. It's the going out for expensive meals with friends. It's the, and I don't know what that is. I'm not giving a list like this is everyone's list. We all have to figure that out for ourselves individually. But oftentimes we're doing things because it's been sold to us, or it's that kind of cookie cutter approach of, this works for most people, so it'll probably work for you. Or it's the social media telling you the next thing that you need, and this is going to make your life better and happier and more efficient. But that might not be true for you, because you're your own individual. You're your own person who has different values, different needs, different ways that you want to set up life. And what works for Sally Joe Suhu down the road is not going to be the same thing that works for you. Like, for instance, I don't value vehicles. I like to get from point A to point B, but it's not a value of mine to have a luxury car. So I'm not going to have a car payment on a luxury vehicle. I don't value brand name clothing. So it's not going to be something that I'm going out with a friend for an activity to go shopping on clothing. What I do value is going out to eat. For me, I love that. So I have figured out the ways to not buy on all these other things so that I can spend on going out to eat with friends, going out to eat with my husband. That's totally different. I know you've talked about this, Jen, of you like eating, but it's not a big deal to go out. So rather than that, let's do takeout. Let's do potlucks. Let's still get together with friends, but it doesn't have to be in this one specific way. And so that's what we're talking about when we're saying identify what you value and then allow that to also inform what you don't value so that that's the area you cut. We don't cut the areas that are the most important to us. That's like when we downsize or minimize, we think we got to go to the most special memorabilia first rather than our junk drawer. Like what? No, go to the junk drawer first. Go to the stuff that you're not using and get rid of that first before you try and hack away at the things that are most valuable for you. And just that is an amazing pivot. Like, don't cut the thing you love, cut the thing you don't love and experience the results of that. And so that of course requires, I think, a step that we often don't take. We love to talk about what makes me happy, what makes me fulfilled, what makes me this, what makes me that. Yeah, do that. And then say, what doesn't make me happy? What promised fulfillment but came up short? What tool or resource or hack was I sold on is going to really shift the way I live my life? And turns out it doesn't, then get rid of that. There's been plenty of things that I've subscribed to because a lot of my friends are doing it, only to realize I don't actually like it. It was like field hockey for me. All my friends were doing field hockey in middle school. And I was like, I just want to be with my friends. I valued my friends, but I hated field hockey. I only lasted 3 days. I'm like, I'm out. So it's like that. Your friends might be doing it, but you might hate it because you can't actually hit the ball that far if the grass isn't mowed.
Yeah. Or it might just be like a halfway, like not 100% fulfillment of your values. So I like, this is going to sound so horrible, I like alcohol. Like I love a good cocktail and the occasional glass of wine. But I have found I don't like beer. I'm not a beer drinker. I like the atmosphere. I like the idea of people who drink craft beer and would like to be one and have found that I don't like beer enough to be that person. So that was one of the lines in the sand for me. I'll take a good craft cocktail. I'll do the occasional glass of wine, but only at home. Like I don't like it enough to order it out, but I will not buy beer. I will not, if my friends are going to a brewery, I'll skip it, especially if I know that they're going to brunch, you know, like next month. I love brunch. So I'll skip a brewery. If I do end up there, I just won't buy anything. That has been a line in the sand for me. So that's like a small thing that like, yes, I love, you know, a good happy hour, but the beer is just not 100% fulfillment. It's like a deceptive fulfillment of my values. Mm-hmm. And so, and you'll get there. It's much easier to start, like we said, with the 80-20 principle, with these bigger things that you know are not directly connected to your values, or you can see like directly how things are not connected to your values. Much easier to start there. And then the more you get acquainted with yourself, because this is like a journey to self-exploration as much as it is to getting control of your spending and improving your income and investing.
And it's so freeing to be able to say no, to know yourself well enough of, I actually don't like that. So I don't feel any pressure to spend on that because I'm not going to enjoy it. It is the most freeing thing to say no when we feel so confident in that no.
Yeah, it is quite empowering and it is quite difficult because in this age, everything looks important. Everything is the next best thing. If it's working for someone else, it has to work for me. Like that is what everybody and everything is telling us, and it's just untrue. Like, we need to be saying no as often as we say yes, not for deprivation, but to empower ourselves to know more about ourselves. Because if you're saying yes to everything, the most special things lose their specialness. They just become the same as everything else. In order for the things in your life that you spend money on to be very valuable, to be very special to you, you have to be saying no to as many, if not more, things by choice, not by obligation.
Talk about power, influence, and control.
Yes.
Love that.
Yes.
The good kind of control. All right. The healthy control.
I love it. Yes. So, we've talked about the 80-20 principle for, you know, saving on big things, and then values can help you get more focused on that 80-20 rule too. So knowing what you do value and then using that to determine what you don't value. So the last big tip that I think will help you save money in 2023 and beyond is to simplify. Simplify to streamline. And so if you think about it, the more complex a project is, the more time it takes to accomplish. And when that project is your life, finances can often feel like you're just constantly spinning your wheels and getting nowhere. And I know this from experience. It is something I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I'm sure you have felt, if not now, then there are seasons in your life where you have felt like you want to get in control of your money and you want to be better financially, but there's so much else going on that is stopping you from doing that. And some of that may be mental. Some of that may be our own mental blocks, but a lot of it is actually physical things that we need to simplify, or non-physical things that we need to simplify.
Yeah, I love this concept of really, it's very similar to that values piece of how can we really hone in on and identify what's most important. That's really going to bring a lot of clarity to where our time, energy, and attention can be going, and then give the permission to cut out the other things that might just be fluff or distraction or obligation or placed on us by someone else, but we don't actually want it. This is not a quick process. This is a self-discovery, a curiosity with ourselves that we can learn and grow in. But I love what you're describing here, that when we are able to simplify all aspects of our life, that doesn't mean we have to focus on them all at once. We can pick and choose which one we want at which times, but it can then have positive impacts on our financial situation. Like you're describing, simplifying our physical space can help us to identify what do we actually need, what's actually important to us. And then we're not then spending much money going forward on continuing to add things into our physical space, or needing to spend a lot of time, energy, and attention on cleaning our physical space if it's simplified, or if our processes are streamlined. It frees up our time to then go do something else that might save us money or make us money. Like, there are so many benefits to this simplification process. That's not a one size fits all either. It doesn't mean that your house needs to be bare of anything to call it simple, but it is a matter of what are the basics? How can I get back to the basics of what's most important to me? And then fill in the cracks around that rather than just chaos all around me, swirling in my head, swirling in my space, swirling in my schedule, but really hone in on how do I want to live life, and then experiencing the benefits financially, emotionally, mentally as a result of that.
Yeah. Simplification isn't necessarily elimination. Mm. Certainly, it will involve that for a lot of people just because we are so overly stimulated and so overly packed in our physical space, in our schedules, our time, our digital spaces, our mental spaces. we are so packed by everything. It's very hard. And I think, I mean, if you have ever tried to meditate, I'm not a big meditator, but I'm sure if you've ever tried it, you realize that even taking 5 minutes to simplify your thinking is almost impossible. If that is so hard, then it sure as heck, everything else is overpacked as well. And so when we are focusing on taking a year to simplify our physical spaces, to save money on all the physical products, to simplify your schedule, to save on takeout and the cleaning services and all of that stuff, to simplify our digital lives so we make fewer online purchases. We're not paying to store digital files we never look at, or subscriptions we forget that we have that we just keep paying for because we don't realize we have, and our mental space, so that we're limiting the decision fatigue that causes us to make impulsive spending decisions or emotional shopping. When you are focusing, when you're ticking those things off one at a time over the year, you are going to find that that saves you more money, not just in the next year, but throughout the rest of your life. And that's what we're going for here, is we want to create opportunities where we can change habits and we can change thought processes that, yeah, might save us some money now. Hopefully will save us money now, but will be those 80-20 savings routes that over 10 years will save $10,000. Mm-hmm. And maybe they only save $100 in the first year, but they will compound on each other. Mm-hmm. And they're the same principles that you can take into your work life when you are trying to get raises and promotions and increase your income. It's the same philosophies that you can take into investing for a retirement that create that consistency and that kind of innate wisdom in how you invest. And so it starts, we talk about spending because we feel like that's the lowest barrier to entry. Learning how to save money, very quick, very easy, you know, much easier than opening a Roth IRA or negotiating for a raise. Like it should be easier to open a Roth IRA, but it's quite confusing. And you probably can't go to your boss tomorrow to negotiate a raise successfully. But today, you can Google how to save money and you can implement a tip. Mm-hmm. Or you can take what you've learned from this episode and you can make one small change that can have a ripple effect.
Yeah, because we're not just talking about saving because we don't make a lot of money. That may be some people's mm-hmm. experiences, and frugality can help in that. But it's also a lifestyle that can follow us regardless of our income, because we are talking about freedom within our finances, and we're talking about setting up our lifestyle, spending included, in a way that aligns with our values. And that follows us throughout. So this isn't just a concept for people trying to live on minimum wages. This is for literally anybody at any place in mm-hmm. career, life stage, because it goes deeper than that. I think the concepts of frugality touch on more than just our finances. It's that whole personhood piece, because we're talking about simplification of mental, emotional, physical space, which yes, has great benefits on our finances, but there's this whole person approach that I think we're talking about here, and these overarching, bigger kind of macro level tips that are going to benefit us, not just in one purchase like a coupon could, but this entire kind of mindset shift that really aims at well-being in a lot of ways, which is why we are able to talk about this for 5 years on a podcast and with no end in sight. We're going to keep talking mm-hmm. about it. Our lives have shifted. Some of our mindsets have shifted. Some of our views and perspectives on things have shifted, and frugality follows us. So I just love that.
Yeah. And If you want to be frugal, if you want to spend money, those things are not mutually exclusive. I think that's my biggest pet peeve when talking to people is they're like, oh, I love to spend money. I'm not frugal. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I love to spend money too. There are just some things I know I don't love to spend money on, and I choose to spend money on the things that I love. And so if you can't say that with confidence, then shifts can happen. Spending is a skill that you can get better at, and not in the way that means you spend more, unless you need to, unless you're on this race to the bottom to invest 90% of your income and you need to learn how to spend a little more. It can go, it's for everyone. It is for those with little money. It is for those with lots of money. And it's for those in the middle, which are most of us, your hosts included.
Our best tips for 2023 came with a solid pitch just for frugality in 2023. Mm-hmm. And you know what else is a solid pitch that you all usually swing at?
And we're going to keep doing it all 2023.
The Bill of the Week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi, Jen and Jill. This is Lindsay here, and I've been listening to your podcast for the last couple of months and really enjoying it. It's good to have a community of frugal friends to rely on. I wanted to tell you about a Bill of the Week that has been really important to me over the last 3 months. I figured out, as I started listening to your podcast, that I was spending about $1,200 a month on groceries, whether that was subscription meal services or whether that was just shopping at Whole Foods for all of my groceries, things really added up. I really revamped what I was doing, just started going to a regular old grocery store locally and really watching my spending and trying to buy in bulk. And I've gotten it down from $1,200 a month to $465 a month on average for the last 3 months. So that's been really exciting for our family, and I wanted to share it with you. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Wow, Lindsay, that is a big cut. And that's one of the big five. It's amazing that we can, and I've heard this time and time again, especially with groceries and food, is that you think you've cut everywhere. You think you've done it. And then you sit down and you tally everything up and you realize you're spending money that you didn't realize. Mm-hmm. And it's not even, and changing it, getting creative doesn't mean forgetting what you value. It just means getting creative with how you achieve it. Like, organic groceries can be purchased at Aldi, and you don't have to go to Whole Foods for all of them. Maybe you spend a little more to go to, you know, your Publix so you can get everything in one place. But you have choices to switch back and forth week to week, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. This is a massive cut, Lindsay, $1,200 a month to $465. And it sounds like it wasn't even too much of a hit to your ability to eat, more so you just implementing that creativity of, oh, I could buy this in bulk. I could still get the things that I want and enjoy. I just don't value spending that much money on my groceries. And to look at one of those heavy hitter categories of discretionary spending, but that's necessary. This is incredible. But I also want to add the caveat here that this doesn't necessarily need to be the case for every person. It's not what Lindsay said, but I can I don't want people walking away thinking like, oh, we're just all about slicing and dicing everything. For me personally, my food budget, well, for me and Eric, it's just two of us, it is about $1,000 a month. But that's what I have chosen to spend. It gives me room to be able to go out to eat and go to the grocery store. But when we realize that what we're spending in those categories is more than we meant to spend, or we don't value actually spending in those areas, then it's fantastic to look to cut. And you did some amazing, it sounds like you've got family, like more than just two people in your house. And to be able to cut it that much is a huge feat. Well done, Lindsay.
Yes, absolutely.
If you all listening happen to slice and dice some bill, whether it's your grocery bill or your housing costs or your utility bill, or you know a person named Bill, and we love those. We love bills. I don't even think we've had an actual bill call in yet. Would love for that to happen. You know the drill. It's vague. It's fun. Visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. Leave us your bill. We are dying to listen to it. And now it's time for
the lightning round. Pew, 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 pew. All right. So in this week's lightning round, we're getting vulnerable. Mm. We're going deep.
Jen loves vulnerability.
I love it.
I love protection.
I'm not going to say anything about protection. We are sharing our 2023 financial goals. And if we ever do replay this episode, I can't wait for us to revisit these and talk about the season that we were in when we were talking about these goals, because we've been talking about that for a while.
I know. Anytime we do a recap on goals or things we hope to accomplish, we're usually a little bit disappointed. So I really hope that doesn't happen with this one. The end is in sight, though. Here we go. Yes. You all know it. If you've listened to this podcast for a long time, you could fill in the blanks on my answer. But
or just one.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards, a free flight, a room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. You might remember from our budget apps episode, we mentioned Monarch Money as being one of the best apps for people switching from Mint.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
The switch from budgeting with Mint to Monarch is easy, since Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint, keeping all of your tags and categories intact. It's also super customizable. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners on this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial.
Day.
For those of you
who one episode.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is your very first Frugal Friends exposure. Welcome. Eric and I bought a house in Florida 2 years ago. It needed a lot of work. We have, over the last almost 2.5 years now, been renovating it. The very first thing we said that this house needed was a kitchen. The kitchen was literally falling apart. 2.5 years in.
A dumpster fire.
Yeah, Jen loves to call it a dumpster fire. I don't disagree with her. 2.5 years in, I still do not have a kitchen. And that's not for lack of trying. We have blood, sweat, and tears did over here. Is tears a verb? I'm making it one.
And I know. And then they've had to paint over the tear stains.
And the blood stains. Yeah.
I know.
And we've done a lot of work. it all has made sense. I'm going to spare you all the details, but we've been cash flowing all of these renovations. That's part of it. We've been doing the renovations ourselves, literally with our blood, sweat, and tears. Airbnb and kitchen is what we are working on in our home. And I anticipate, it is my hope, that we will pay for and complete both of those major renovations, adding an Airbnb to our home and completing the kitchen. And by the way, that is one of those big five, that kind of 80-20 principle with our house. When we look at housing costs, one of the things is how can we cut costs on our housing? But another thing is how can we make money on our housing? And so we've got a spot in our house with a separate entrance that's essentially like a hotel room, full bath, bedroom, that we will Airbnb out. We live very close to the water. We've got kayaks. We really hope people give us their money to stay here. And so that's the hope. The financial goal is to cash flow that, get it finished, get short-term renters and make money and at least recoup the cost of that part of the renovation is what I hope happens in 2023. What about you, Jen?
Yes. Similar. So yes, we took another on the 80-20 approach, housing. So our last year, 2022 goal was to get an income property. And after a lot of sweat and tears and potentially blood, because there were times where I was going to punch somebody, we did get a home, but it was not an investment property per se. So we left our home that we lived in and got another home that we now live in that is a fixer-upper, but is large enough to split to make the back half an Airbnb, but we're going to go for the midterm rental. It's a 2-1. So we're targeting like traveling nurses, snowbirds, students, that sort of thing, because we're very close to a university. So we have been working on that since we purchased this house in May. It makes me sad sometimes because we left a fully renovated, beautiful home that I loved and moved into this place with lots of wallpaper. Wallpaper that I found out very quickly I personally cannot remove because I am pregnant and there's lead-based paint underneath.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, there are so few things I can do and they whittle down and down and down. I am hoping that we will have this rental area done and rented out very soon because we are renting out our old home. That is a rental property and we are making income on that. And with the income from the back half rental, that should cover both mortgages. So we will be mortgage payment free when that happens. So it was really a case of getting creative with, okay, I'm okay with the amount of square footage I have. A 3-2 is great for me. So I don't want to reduce there. So now what can I do to reduce my mortgage payment? Well, this is something I can do. So that it's just a constant. There will never be a time where you master saving money. There will always be ways of getting creative to do it. And not everything is right for every person. But you don't know that until you try. Like, I am not a real estate investor, I have found. I have learned that that is not something that I'm going to be doing to optimize my income further. Once we are done with this, I think I'm done. But I'm certainly glad I did it because it's going to, I'm not going to make money from real estate, but it's going to cover my mortgage.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me. That's good. I'll make money in different ways and I'll save money in different ways after this. So that's the biggest goal for this year. And having a baby in March.
Yay.
Hopefully having a baby in March. And to not go bankrupt. I know I can't really control what it costs. So it's not really a goal. It's just a hope that everything goes well. But we are planning for that in March.
Yay. Man, I hope this was inspiring to anyone who's listened and stuck with us this long to make your own goals. What are your financial goals for 2023? If you need help with that, frugalfriendspodcast.com/makeover. That's a free week-long opportunity to really get focused and get some clarity on what you want your 2023 to look like. Mm-hmm. We know it's not going to look like ours, so identify it for yourself.
Yes.
Thank you all for listening. Many of you know we also have a private community where we do monthly money challenges. We offer accountability groups. It's a whole thing where we like gamify finances and get to chat with other frugal friends. It's awesome. We want to shout out to one of our members for a big win recently, Vanessa. She shared, "One thing I love about being more conscious of marketing tactics, you can give credit to the marketing team, but resist the urge of making impulse purchases. A greenhouse nearby organized a scavenger hunt for kids. They were getting free herbs as a prize." That's fun. "But parents had to walk every single aisle with their kids to find the hidden objects. I thought to myself, well done, nice marketing tactic. I do want to buy all the plants and decorations around me, but I didn't because I get most of my plants for free on my Buy Nothing group and I have enough Christmas decorations." Vanessa, talk about knowing yourself, being wise to the marketing tactics, spending on what you want, saying no to the rest. This is the epitome of what we've described. And Vanessa has been a longtime Frugal Friends listener, and she is a member, and she knows all this stuff, and she is becoming expert. Well done, Vanessa.
Yes, I love that. That marketing is not the enemy, but it is a tool that can be used against you if you don't know how it works. And just knowing how it works can have you taken advantage of free herbs for your kids without spending money you don't need. So congrats, Vanessa.
Thank you all for listening. If you want to check out this monthly challenge, if it sounds interesting to you, head to frugalfriendspodcast.com/club. You can see what challenge we have coming up next, if it's going to be helpful for you. Check it out.
See you next time. Frugal Friends is produced by Eric Sirianni.
Big hopes
for my children.
You're going to be a family of four in 2023.
Yep. Yes, we are going. I'm going from one son to two sons.
We'll find out in March.
I think. Well, could I've be, seen the ultrasound.
It could be more than one. It could be female.
Nope. I mean,
could be koala, part koala.
That's not how science works, Jill. It's not how science works.
Just saying. We never know till we can see it with our eyes.
And then sometimes you can see it with your eyes and know.
Yay! I can't wait to meet that little nugget. Either way, it's going to be a nugget.
I know. I can't wait till he has a name.
That'll come. That'll come when you see him.
Yeah, maybe. I hope it's before then. If all else, I mean, we always have Bill.
Oh, he would be the Bill of the century. We'd probably get away with, like, we'd do away with the segment and just shout out your son every week.
Oh, we would never.
I know.
Never.
All right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for
more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.